Good morning, brothers. I am Patrick Cholka. I am past master of Henry L. Palmer Lodge and currently your grand lecturer. Today I'll be talking a little bit about an introduction to the Enter Apprentice degree, which is a presentation written by myself and Brother Brian Dulles. For the next few minutes, we're going to review some of the points and symbols of the Enter Apprentice degree for Masonry. First, let's explore what an Enter Apprentice is. An Enter Apprentice is a Mason in the sense that a building under construction is called a building. An Enter Apprentice does have privileges and duties and limitations. For example, an Enter Apprentice has the right to be instructed on all matters pertaining to the degree and a right to apply for advancement through the in-lodge examination. You have the duty to be faithful to your obligation and to your brothers. It is also your duty to learn the required portions of the degree. Some say the Enter Apprentice degree is an introduction to Freemasonry, but I prefer to think of it as the first step into Freemasonry or the foundation, entering through the threshold of the door into Freemasonry. The Enter Apprentice represents youth, and as such, you are expected to occupy your mind with the attainment of useful knowledge. As a learner, this is easily illustrated by a line from The Charge: at your leisure hours, that you may improve Masonic knowledge, you are to converse with well-informed brethren who will always be as ready to give as you will be ready to receive instruction. The Enter Apprentice is the foundation on which the lessons of Freemasonry are built upon. There are many symbols within the Enter Apprentice degree, and none are more important than the other. We're going to walk through a few of them this morning. In Freemasonry, the word lodge has three meanings: the place where Masons meet, the assembly of the brethren duly congregated for Masonic labor, and as a piece of furniture. The lodge is a symbol of the world, and its shape, the oblong square, was anciently thought to be the shape of it. The form covering furniture, lights, and jewels are explained in the Enter Apprentice degree lectures, and you will learn more about this as you proceed through your degrees. In the world of the lodge, there is no distinction of class, wealth, and power between the brethren. In the lodge, all are equal and on the level, and peace and harmony prevail. In the lodge, men are united in the common bond of three fundamental beliefs: the fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man, and the immortality of the soul, and all the sweet associations which come from them. With all the distinctions aside, we are able to focus on the good and important works of Freemasonry. The Enter Apprentice is introduced to the three great lights of Freemasonry, which are the Holy Bible, square, and compasses. The Holy Bible, sometimes referred to as the Holy Writings, is the great light in Masonry and is opened upon the altar. Here, the Bible is a symbol of all holy books of all faiths. It is how Masonry establishes the simplest and most profound truth that there is a way for all men to travel together with nothing to divide them. The square reminds us to square our actions. It represents morality, the ethical and right conduct that must form the basis of our every action as the foundation of all societies. The square is not for any one lodge or any one nation or any one religion. It is for all Masons everywhere. The compasses establish the limits of our conduct by measuring our ability to wisely conduct actions within certain boundaries. Like the square, they are recognized by all Masons wheresoever dispersed. The square encompasses, with the letter G in the center, representing the holy writings, is the emblem of Freemasonry. This emblem represents the fraternity as a whole. It serves to remind every Mason of our obligation to obey the moral law. Much has been said and written about the emblems of the fraternity, more than can be comfortably said here. Together, they symbolize all things they represent individually, and when used together, they represent the greatest fraternity the world has ever known. In the Iron Apprentice degree, the new initiate is presented with a white lambskin or white leathern apron and is provided with a detailed explanation. The apron is considered more ancient than the golden fleece or Roman eagle, more honorable than the star and garter. With this description, the ritual impresses the importance of this symbol upon the candidate, it being more honored and more prized a possession than any other. It is a visual link between us and our ancestors of the ancient stonemasons' guilds, who wore aprons to protect their clothing, and that its color is associated with purity in nearly every culture and society. Its link to Freemasonry is undeniable. It simultaneously represents a Mason's labor and his strides to live a moral life. You are instructed to wear it with equal pleasure to yourself and honor to the fraternity, to impress upon your mind and heart that you should never allow it to be stained or sullied through your thoughts, words, and actions. As an inner apprentice, you wear it with the top turned up to identify you as having taken your first steps or entered through that threshold into Masonry. As the apron identifies us as Masons, we wear it to signify our intentions to lead a moral life. That is the distinguishing characteristic of a Mason. The working tools of an inner apprentice are the 24-inch gauge and common gavel. The ashlar, or that stone being used in a building, represents our moral character and requires constant work and manipulation by way of the working tools. The working tools presented to the inner apprentice are tools of preparation. They are used to prepare the rough ashlar of our character by removing the visual imperfections. The 24-inch gauge teaches us to monitor and divide our time, so that we may spend part of our day in prayer to the Supreme Architect of the universe, part in labor and refreshment, and part serving a brother in time of need. It reminds us that we are mortal and that we should strive to live a productive life with the time that we have. The common gavel represents the force of conscience, which, of course, is the voice of our own soul. It is that inner voice that is ever ready to warn us when we are about to morally err. By removing the vices and other unnecessary portions of our character, our conscience will be easier to hear and therefore will guide us through the moral path. If we do not allow it to guide us, failure becomes a habit, and its voice will eventually become so weak that it is barely audible. Together, the working tools of an inner apprentice represent the spiritual and moral virtues by which a man and a Mason may adjust themselves to the requirements of human society. The tenets of our profession are brotherly love, relief, and truth. A tenet is a teaching so obviously true, so universally accepted, that we believe it without question. For example, that good health is better than sickness. Yet a truthful man is more dependable than a liar. That education is preferred to ignorance are all tenets. The tenets of our profession are no different. Brotherly love means that a man places on another man the highest possible valuation as a friend, a companion, and an associate. To spend time in his company and work at his side is an enjoyable privilege. As Freemasons, we do not ask to profit from this relationship. Our relationship with our Masonic brother is its own justification and its own reward. Masonic relief is a form of charity. There is one aspect of Masonic relief that differs. No matter how careful and industrious a Mason may be, through sudden misfortune or other conditions over which he has no control, he may be in temporary need of a helping hand. While this may be thought of as charity, it is one of the natural and inevitable acts of brotherhood. The purpose of the rite of destitution, when you are asked for a dime or a smaller coin, in your entered apprenticeship, is meant to emphasize the tenet of Masonic relief. Truth as a Masonic tenet is much more than the search for truths in the intellectual sense, although that certainly is part of it. Masons must be truthful in character and habit, dependable, honorable, and honest. In short, Masons must be men on whom others can rely. Freemasonry does not tell us that brotherly love, relief, and truth ought to be true, nor that it would be better for us if they were true. Freemasonry does tell us that they are true. The problem is not whether or not we believe them. The challenge is, what are we to do with them? The obligation is a tie, a contract, a pledge, a vow, and a duty that is owed. We assume the Masonic obligations voluntarily, and it is important that we understand it fully. It can be broken into four parts. The first section can be called a pledge. Here you are promising to keep the secret parts of the entered apprentice degree from another that you have not verified is a true and lawful brother Mason. In the second section, or tie, the obligation you bind yourself to the fraternity, of the obligation you bind yourself to the fraternity, promising what you will or will not do as an entered apprentice. You promised in this case not to make any of the secrets legible or understandable. In the commitment, you are committing to keep all the promises made, understanding the mental pain you might have in addition to the contempt and distrust of your brother Masons by not keeping the promises, which is the purpose of the symbolic penalty. In the prayer, you are asking for your Creator's help in keeping all of these promises. The obligation is a solemn vow made before your Creator with his help in keeping the same. Your commitment to this obligation does not end when the following degree is conferred upon you. A Mason can be depended upon to fulfill his obligations to the best of his ability. The modes of recognition are the means by which one Mason may recognize another among strangers. Through them, we are able to prove ourselves or others to be regular Masons in order to enter into the fraternal fellowship and to receive the rights and benefits of that degree. These consist of the word and grip of an entered apprentice, as well as a dewgard and sign, all of which were given to you at the altar after taking your obligation. The grip is the Masonic handshape of this degree, and its primary purpose is to be able to greet another brother in a warm, friendly, and brotherly manner that he will recognize by feel, which enables us to use it to equal effect in the dark as well as the light. The word of an entered apprentice degree was also given to you at the altar. It is the name of the grip, and both were given at the same time. When asked to give the word of an entered apprentice, you should always give it in the same manner you receive it. The dugard alludes to the position in which your hands are placed while taking the obligation, and reminds us of those things to which we committed through it. The sign alludes to the symbolic penalty and likewise reminds us of our commitment to keep the obligation and the contempt and distrust of your brother Masons by failing to do so. The dugard and sign together form a salute of an entered apprentice. Together, they symbolize your recognition and respect for the authority to the principal officers when within the Masonic Lodge. It is also a symbol of the Masons' respect and obedience to all just and duly constituted authorities. As you promise in your obligation never to share these with anyone you cannot prove to your satisfaction as a Mason, and is as entitled to them as you are yourself. You should practice these with your mentor or a well-known brother, so they become comfortable and to some extent second nature. What we went through today are some of the symbols of the Inner Apprentice degree. A symbol is something that represents or stands for something else, usually a material object representing an abstract idea. There are many, many symbols of within the Inner Apprentice degree, all of which are equally important. All these symbols are there for you, the candid and industrious inquirer, to discover for yourself.